my god. I don't remember how to do this whatsoever. Hi, everybody, and welcome back. It's been
a year almost.
Been almost a year. Last June was the last time we put an episode out, and we're the exact same as we were back then.
Maybe
welcome
worse.
Back to a long, yeah, probably worse, actually. But welcome back to a long overdue mini reunion of the Trek in the Storm podcast. My name is Brandon. I got both Matt and Alex here with me, and we have a lot to talk about. Mostly just because, holy crap, almost slipped up already there, Matt. Holy crap, the Canes just had a huge trade deadline, and there's a lot of buzz around this team right now. There's a lot of interesting things happening. Finally, it finally happened, the thing we've been clamoring for what, 3 or 4 years now. The Hurricanes finally addressed their goal scoring needs. They had another really interesting move that we're going to talk about here that I'm really not sure what to expect out of. And yeah, lots of good stuff to talk about. So we're going to jump right in, right? Matt, first of all, I just want to say hello, buddy. I feel like we're in the DMs every once in a while, but we don't really talk about your life. Tell us what's been going on with you, your scouting stuff. You don't have to give us any secret sauce or anything, obviously, but what you're allowed to tell us.
I mean, yeah, I've since becoming director, I've had, you know, the pleasure of working with a bunch of really talented people. I've got a staff of about 14, I think is what we're up to now, 14 scouts, not including myself.
You're the
ranging
Don.
Ranging from Western Canada to France. So it's been a lot of fun. You know, we've gotten, I think right now, 2 recruits already for next year. And then obviously at the deadline, we brought in at least 1 or 2 players that we think could be back with us next year. So, I think it's going really well. You know, a lot of learning experiences, but it's fun.
Hey, as it is, man, I've been working at 8 to 5 the last year. I'm trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing. So, you know, it's definitely a learning curve, even in the, you know, corporate America world. Anyway, Alex, I feel like I've talked to you even less. I know you're sick. Appreciate you jumping on here with us. What's new with you?
I don't know, man, other than being sick as a dog, you know, just motoring on, man. But have the opportunity to jump in here with you two lads. I mean, I couldn't pass that one up. You know what I mean? No sickness is going to hold me down right now, man. I've been fired up to do this reunion, and it feels almost bad that it took something like this colossal for us to all jump back in here together and make this happen. But, you know, I get we're all busy, and you know, just it's good to be back.
Well, I mean, it should be known, we have been talking about this every once in a while, at least, mostly me and Alex, because Matt's
pretty much,
you know, kind of busy.
Matt's outgrown the need for us.
right. He's on
that is bigger... That's false. That's false.
Bigger and better.
Let me defend myself here.
Well, no, we have talked about doing it a little bit, and I it probably should be said that we're not like necessarily back and going to start doing this every week just because it's a lot. We are busy, but you know, we thought it would be a fun time to jump in here. And actually, I'd be remiss if I didn't at least give Dylan at the Hockey Podcast Network a shout out for even letting us do this. Just, you know, we did have a contract initially saying we had a certain amount we'd have to continue to put out. And you know, that contract's expired by now, but like we're still on their platform and allowed to put stuff out through them. And he probably didn't have to do that. It may be mutually beneficial because he's still going to get some ad revenue. Do have to do an ad read later. That'll be interesting. But
beauty.
Hey, it's a free network for us to put stuff out. You actually kind of have to pay for it. That's one thing some people may not know. If you're not sponsored, you have to pay to put podcasts on like Spotify and stuff like that. But anyway, getting kind of behind the scenes, deep into the weeds there a little bit, maybe. But dude, like I said, shout out Dylan, everybody at the Hockey Podcast Network.
To be fair to us as well, we are top tier like content. How do you not want us on your website? You know what I mean?
That's true. That's true. He does have the, you know, luxury of getting us for free and not having to pay us. So hey, there's that. But let's jump into it, guys. I do want to start. I mean, let's start with the Guentzel trade. That's obviously the big one. Again, this is something I've kind of been pounding the table for a long time. I think it's something Brendan Moore has subtly hinted at in interviews, especially like towards the end of, you know, when a season ends after they get eliminated and stuff like that. There have been times where he's not gone right out and said it like I need more scoring, but there have been instances in the past where he's hinted at wanting a little bit more oomph, a little bit more finishing, because they've never really had that pure elite goal scorer. And now they do. Like, this is really big. Like, they have not had a player that, in terms of putting the puck in the net, Jake Guentzel is going to bring to this lineup. I love the, versatility they have now and the ability Brendan Moore has to build this lineup in a lot of different ways. I'm really interested to see where Guentzel is going to slot in. Is he going to go with Sebastian Aho? Does that mean, they're going to keep Tara Vinen up there because of his playmaking ability? Are they going to really try? They're going to gas up that top line, the gas line with Guentzel, Aho, and Svechnikov. That would be a lot of fun. Who the hell knows? There's not really many ways you can go wrong. All of a sudden, this top six looks really, really good. And even beyond that, because you're going to have, that, Stahl line's been playing great with Jarvis. And then the fourth line, Jack Drury and Stefan Nason have been fantastic as well. So, again, really, really interested to see how this is going to play out. But I absolutely love the addition of Jake Guentzel. I think he's going to, well, give them exactly what they've needed for a long time. I don't know what else to say beyond that. Super excited to see him get to rally and suit up for a game.
No, I think this is a great move for the Hurricanes. I mean, you do have to talk about losing Michael Bunting. I think production-wise, he was producing about at the level that we expected. I don't think anybody really expected him to be the 60-point guy he was for that 1 year with the Leafs. I think he had like 49 points last year, if I'm not mistaken, and think he was roughly on pace for about 40 to 45 here, but defensively he wasn't able to contend in the system, and you could argue some of that was the goaltending that we had issues with early on, but at even strength it definitely became kind of an issue to get Bunting to produce. And yes, Guentzel does really help the power play, and I think that's something that has been talked about an area where he takes our already good power play to the next level, but Guentzel can also produce at even strength.
That's one thing that really jumped off the page to me was he's good on the power play, don't get me wrong, but he's not a power play merchant by any means. A majority of his production has come at 5-on-5, and he just it's hockey IQ. He's a very, very smart hockey player. I posted a clip last night on Twitter, retweeted it, whatever, X,
That's
about
his word.
him. Yeah, right. Just finding a soft spot in the defense and timing plays. And a lot of it was chemistry with Sidney Crosby too. He's not gonna have Sidney anymore. So that is one thing to, I guess, kind of keep an eye on. But it was just him reading the play, knowing when and where to be to find the soft spot in the defense and finishing because he has an elite shot. So it's a little skill set that I don't think the Hurricanes have really had much of. And I think it's gonna be a really welcome addition on a team with so many great playmakers.
Well, I think one thing about Guentzel that's maybe really underrated to the fan base is that he's kind of lauded to be a guy who kind of like creates a lot of his offense based on holding the puck and waiting for guys to get open, because he's got such high hockey sense and such good vision. And with a system like the Hurricanes is where pretty much everything they do is based on getting puck possession in the offensive zone and kind of just trying to wear teams out. When you have a guy like Guentzel who co like fits pretty much completely into what the Hurricane system is built towards. And then you combine that with, okay, this guy can actually finish. He can actually put the puck in the net. I think it's just a match made in heaven, right? And he's a guy who he scored 40 goals twice over the past 5 seasons. He's pretty much been at a 40 goal pace for each of the past 5 years. Like last year, he scored 36, but he missed some time. He scored 20 in 2020, but he missed half the season. So, like, this is a guy who's pretty much scoring at a 35 to 40 goal clip every year. And you take him, add him into a system that you can arguably say benefits his style of play even more than maybe what he's done in Pittsburgh. And then you combine that with now you've got an elite winger for Sebastian Aho to play with and a guy who can actually consistently finish. And especially even with Tara Vinen, right? Like these guys will be getting Guentzel the puck. I just think like this is a match made in heaven, right? And I'm pretty sure we can kind of chalk that up to being one of the big reasons why maybe the Hurricanes were comfortable with, leaving their normal philosophy of, hey, we're not going to give up future assets here for a rental because that's just not really what they're known to do. But when you have a guy who fits pretty much everything that you do as a group like this, I think this is probably what convinced them to take the big swing. And they probably see this as more of a long-term fit as well, because if he fits in with the group and integrates, he just seems like such a Hurricanes fit. And with what he's been through in the league, and especially his playoff production as well, I think he's a guy that you would more than welcome having along for the long haul.
I'm going to put a pin in that contract conversation for 1 second. I just want to comment on those shifts where the Hurricanes just have the puck in the offensive zone for forever. And it's like they get all these chances and don't score. You add a guy like Guentzel to that.
Yeah, finally you have a guy who can do something in those situations. You know what I mean?
Right. Like it's just, it's a basic level. Some of those are going to start to turn into goals when you have a goal scorer of this caliber on the ice. Matt, I'm sorry I cut you off. Did I take your
Sorry.
point as well?
It's okay. It's okay. I forgive you. I'm going to put another pin in that contract conversation. Guys, what is the one issue that's always come up for the Hurricanes in the playoffs?
They run out of gas offensively.
The scoring dries up. The scoring has dried up. That has been the problem every time the Canes get in the playoffs, is all of a sudden their top scorers forget how to play hockey. That's a little harsh. They forget how they just the scoring dries up for whatever reason. You just don't get the bounces. I mean, every team goes through slumps, but it seems like Carolina always goes through their slump in the playoffs. Over the course of his career, Jake Guentzel, if it were like the regular season, like on a regular season, like points base, he would be on a 48 goal pace in the playoffs. That's insane.
I
The
thought
last time he was in the playoffs, Pittsburgh played 7 games and he had 8 goals.
yeah, in 7 games, yeah.
Like, and they didn't win.
Right. I thought I saw that
He's
he's like got the best goals per game average of any active player.
Yeah, I
He's
think they said he's
one
like
of the
top four all
best
time or something.
playoff
Crazy.
performers. Like the kid, the guy just, I call him a kid. He is a baby face, but he's like
My
31, I
age.
think.
He's
He's
29.
29. Oh, he's
He's
29. Okay.
29.
Oh, it's Kuznetsov that's 31. Sorry. We'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah.
He's honestly just one of the most consistent playoff performers ever. And, the Sidney Crosby narrative is, I mean, look, any winger that's played with Sidney Crosby has instantly become elite.
Well,
Just, or their point production. It's the same thing. Like Eric Staal was able to make AHL players look halfway decent for most of his career with the Hurricanes. Like, it's the same deal, except Sidney Crosby's way better at it. It's not like the Hurricanes like don't have anybody for Guentzel to play with. Like, they've got Sebastian Aho, who's a great player and arguably just as smart as Guentzel. So he's gonna be able to get Guentzel the puck.
I saw somebody last night talking about that relationship with Crosby and Guentzel and how good they were together. And they did describe that situation as symbiotic. That is not a one-way road. They made each other better. And Sidney Crosby, one of the most cerebral players that's ever played the game of hockey, knows that and has made a point to say that on multiple occasions. Like, I haven't made him better. He has been able to help me continue to be who I've been, basically. Like,
Yeah.
so he's not a Crosby, he's not a power play merchant, and he's not a Crosby merchant. Like, this is a supremely talented hockey player. We haven't even talked about his vision too. Like, yes, he's an elite goal scorer, but like there's some unbelievable passes he's made. He's just a smart, very well-rounded, extremely skilled hockey player that makes this team significantly better. Defense is a little bit of another question. That's one thing I guess to sort of keep your eye on, but I think the Hurricanes have enough of those guys that, the guy he's replacing in the lineup, Bunting, we already talked about it, not very good defensively. So you're not really getting any worse there by any means. And imagine, maybe under Brendan Moore, he gets a little better. Who knows? All right, so moving on, let's go ahead and jump into the second part of this deal before we move into the, other ones. I do want to get, obviously, Matt, you're our resident prospect guy. You're no longer the prospect, Kane's prospects guy. Shout out to Nick. He's done a great job too. But
Who's currently, as we're recording this, in Maine,
yeah, I
about to
saw
watch
that.
UMass versus Maine.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Shout out Scott Morrow, still a Hurricane. But yeah, I do want to hear you guys'
Jeez.
thoughts. I also have my own because, especially in Koivunen's case, I've always been a big Koivunen guy. So let's talk about the return a little bit, and then obviously we'll move into the contract and, dear God, please re-sign Guentzel part of the equation as well.
So the official return is obviously Michael Bunting, Philadelphia's 2024 second round pick that becomes a first round pick in 2024 if the Hurricanes make it to the Stanley Cup final. There is a fifth round pick, I think, with the same condition on it that like
They have to
they
win
just
it to
get.
get that one.
That one they have to
Oh,
win the
that one
cup.
we have to win. Okay.
Cup win for a fifth round pick. I think we'll take that,
Listen,
right?
I think yeah, that's I just the
Seems
I would
like
give
a
up a first round
no-brainer.
pick just to see the Stanley Cup final in Raleigh again. Like, I'll be real.
Facts.
And then you give up a trio of prospects, Ville Koivunen, Vasily Ponomarev, and Cruz Lucius. It seems like a lot on the surface, but this is what you do to get a premier talent at the deadline. And, being somebody that's watched all three of these players pretty regularly, I would say, Ponomarev is the one player out of this that you're probably guaranteed to get NHL games out of. I mean, he had the two games with the Canes and looked pretty good in those games. He's probably no more than a third line center, though. And the Canes have a lot of prospects with that upside. Ville Koivunen having a great year in Finland right now. But you look at how he did last year in North America, and there's just some concerns, I think, with his skating and overall pace of play that maybe made the Hurricanes a little more willing to give him up in a trade. And then you have obviously, Cruz Lucius, who's leading Wisconsin in points. Again, the issue there is the skating, and I think it was Chris Peters with Flow Hockey was saying, he doesn't really have any tools that are particularly high end. So, he's one of those prospects where you have him in a trade and you just see where he's at, but you don't really know if you're getting something super high end there. So, all in all, I mean, you get out of there without guaranteeing them a first round pick. I think that's a big deal. And then you get to keep your top five or even top six, depending on how you rank, like Jaden Perron, for instance. Like keeping Nikishin, Morrow, Ungersorum, Jackson Blake, Bradley Nadeau, and then again, if you consider Perron better than any of those guys, Jaden Perron as well. I think that's a really good deal for the Hurricanes to make.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, right? It is a lot kind of on surface to give up, but when you actually consider how deep the prospect pool is, and pretty much like after the top five guys you mentioned, it's kind of like, you can pretty much slot in whoever you might personally like more. You know what I mean? It's like they have a lot of B tier guys, and I don't know if it's harsh to say, but I think I'd say all three prospects they gave up would probably fall in the B tier. I mean, a lot is being made about Ville Koivunen and his stats in with Karpat this year. And the Hurricanes know a lot about that program, obviously. And let's not slight Ville Koivunen at all. He's got 55 points in 57 games. He's having one of the best seasons over there for a U20 player, pretty much in that league's history. Like he's in like the top 10 already for stats in his age group. And he looks like a very nice player, but I've actually watched him a couple times this year as well, and me and Matt talked about this the other day. It's a situation of where, kind of like, I just feel Koivunen has a style that doesn't really project very well to the NHL, mostly due to his skating. Like his crossover stride is just very wonky. He doesn't look natural as a skater. And like we were talking about, on the larger ice surface, when you have a lot more time and space with the puck, it can make guys look better than maybe they are in a way. And that's kind of the tough thing to project is when, you have a guy who has a lot of skill, and you can't question this guy's skill, right? But it's when you try and project that to the NHL level where you have a lot less time and space, it's a lot faster of a game, it's much more high paced. Can he do the same things with his lack of foot speed? And I feel like that's pretty much the reason why the Hurricanes were comfortable moving on from this player, because especially when you project that into a system like Rod Brind'Amour's, where it's all about pace and up tempo and getting in on the forecheck, and obviously you have so much, you have to be so quick with your decision making in the NHL. It's just I worried about his ability to keep up. And it's too bad, right? Because he's obviously a very talented player. And then obviously what you said about Ponomarev, he's obviously a tough guy to lose because, we actually got to see him live this year. He came up a couple of games. He was like a hero, right? It's the whole fan base was like, wow, look at this kid. And he was exciting. And I feel like he's definitely going to be a tough one to lose. I do think he's probably ready to play NHL games now. And he's probably, for me, the guy that I don't think you're going to regret losing any of these players because of how deep your prospect core is. And we got Jake Guentzel, right? So if you got to give up these guys to get a player like Guentzel, I think you're making that trade all day. But yeah, I do wish them the best, but I don't think either that this is really a trade that's going to really set even the Hurricanes farm back at all.
Not really. I mean, yeah, you lose a little bit of depth in the top 10, but the system's so deep where you have guys that can fill that. And with Koivunen, I don't think my question is like if he'll be able to make decisions at the NHL level. It's whether or not he'll be able to act in the space that he's given, because if he'll be able to separate himself due to the skating. I think that's more of where you'll find the concerns is like there's no space in the NHL, and the players that are able to create space for themselves are the ones that succeed. 9 times out of 10, how do you do that? Skating.
Yeah, you need separation.
Yeah. With Guentzel, I saw somebody posted this today saying, well, it's going to be 5 years before we find out who wins this trade. I said, the Canes win the cup this year. They've won the trade. Also,
I was gonna bring up. Why do we have to do this?
why do you have to have winners and
Great
losers of
trade.
trades in the first place?
That's what we
Great trade for
do,
both
man.
teams.
That's what we do.
That's dumb.
I
That's
think
silly.
both teams win. I think both teams did a great job. This is a asset that in a lost season for Pittsburgh, they were probably about to lose. And they got three players that like are decent lottery tickets, if nothing else. And one of them that honestly, I would not be surprised if he finishes the year in Pittsburgh. I don't really
And
see
then they got another lottery ticket in the draft
in
pick.
a draft, right? Like, yeah, you can dunk on Dubas for not getting a first, a guaranteed first anyway, for Guentzel. And like, I saw that take a lot. I get it. But at the same time, you're getting players that have already at least shown a little bit that you maybe have an idea of what they are. And dude, like Ville Koivunen is 20. The skating maybe won't ever improve. I guess there's at least some chance maybe he can get a little better at it. But like he's got enough talent that I don't think we should be writing him off as a potential middle six option down the road that can give you some pop. Just saying.
Yeah, I think it's fair to point out that like yes, like if he hits, he'll be a middle six forward, but it's also like here's what's holding him back right now. I think that's what we're saying is like that's what's keeping him from being like that's what kept him from being an impact player with Charlotte or not Charlotte, Chicago.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? At the end of the day, I think you guys covered this portion pretty well, so I don't have that much to add. But I just want to go back to the fact of what the Hurricanes didn't lose in this. I mean, both of the guys that like at least were in the conversation a little bit last night, I would have been a little bit more upset about. And that's Scott Morrow and Jackson
Rob
Blake.
Morrow, yeah, Jackson Blake. Maybe
Yeah, so I was
Ponomarev.
talking.
That would
Yeah.
have been tougher to stomach for sure.
I was talking with somebody last night. I said the four prospects that it would legitimately hurt you to lose are
Nadeau.
probably Nadeau, Blake, Nikishin, and Morrow.
Which, can we stop the Nikishin discourse at this point? Please, y'all? He's
I
not.
think at this point, if the Hurricanes have told teams that he is a no-go, that means he's signing with the team.
Yeah, I think so too.
If they were trading him, That would mean he's given them word that he's not signing.
Some kind of sign that he at least doesn't want to play here and
Like,
nothing else.
yeah, like when we started shopping Adam Fox, it was because he told us, hey, I'm not signing here.
Pretty simple, guys. Use your brains. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet just $5 and win 200 instantly in bonus bets. We've got some good showdowns going on. We got the Devils and the Hurricanes. We got the Stars and the Kings. Or on Monday, you've got the surging Islanders taking on the Kings that have been scuffling for a while lately, but they've started to show some signs of getting back on track. Quentin Byfield's having a great year out there, one of my favorite players to watch. The opportunities are endless, guys. All kinds of options out there. Take advantage while you can. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers can bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. All right, back to the show.
Brandon and Alex, question for you guys. Actually, it might be Brandon that said this, or it might have been Andrew. I can't remember. Somebody, and I know Chris Coate said it, Coate, however you say it, said it as well, where after Rod was like, you know, well, we like our group. How? You have Jack Drury as your 2C. Brandon, what was the second move that the Hurricanes made at the deadline? Like the second player move?
He's got a 1% on the hockey cards, dude. This is not a 2C anymore.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just kidding. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's a joke. It was a joke. Yeah, okay. So first of all, you know, I started to bring up Jack Drury a minute ago when we were talking about Ponomarev, but, you know, crunch for time here. It's probably a good thing we didn't have the podcast early in the year because I probably would have had some sound bites out there that might have come back to bite me just a little bit.
Jack Drury has been, say that.
He's been phenomenal. He's been phenomenal for a while now. I've seen him like in some like Selke conversation, you know, just like buzz tweets and stuff, and it's not going to happen. But I think people are starting to realize just how good Jack Drury is. Glad the Hurricanes don't listen to me all the time. Anyway, Evgeny Kuznetsov. This is an interesting one, man. And you know, there's a lot to like from a standpoint of you think about it wasn't that long ago. Last year, really, he was a 55-point guy. He's been falling off a little bit. He's in his 30s now. But that Washington team, A, is not good. B, I mean, sometimes things just grow stale after you're in a certain place for a while, right? And a change of scenery, you know, that's kind of a buzzword for a reason in the NHL. And Brendan Moore and Kuznetsov, this is well documented. There's plenty of articles that were out about it today, have this very mutual respect for each other. You know, Brendan Moore had Kuznetsov flying around in the friggin' All-Star game, trying to, you know, acting like it was the playoffs or something. So I think this is a move that at $3.9 million for one more year, well, that's like, you know, 100 games basically you're getting of him where he's on your books. I think this is a low risk, pretty damn substantial reward move for the Hurricanes to make. If this guy hits, the Hurricanes top six is going to be obnoxiously good. So I think it's a risk you take when you're in the position the Hurricanes are in right now.
Can I just say that I absolutely love this deal? I absolutely love it. Beyond just the fact that Kuznetsov has been one of my favorite players in hockey for maybe the past 10 years, which is a sin, by the way, because obviously he's a Washington Capital. And we're supposed to hate every single one of those guys. I absolutely love this guy. What he does on the ice, he's honestly a magician. His skill is just top tier. I can't wait to be able to watch this guy in a Hurricanes jersey. I've low-key been hoping for this for years, and I never thought I would see this day come, right? So I'm absolutely ecstatic. But what makes me so optimistic about this move is with what Kuznetsov has gone through recently, he just came out of the player assistance program. He's obviously been facing some demons and obviously on the track to get better and get his career, back on the right track. I mean, he had 78 points just 2 seasons ago. Like, this is a guy who is not far removed from being an elite center in this league. This guy was down in the AHL practicing with the Hershey Bears. Like, a guy with this guy's stature, man, he was ready to go play with the Hershey Bears. He looked happy about it. If you watch the videos when he was practicing with Hershey, and he just wants to play. He just wants to leave what he was facing and what he was dealing with behind him and prove not only to maybe the fans and the people watching, but to prove to himself that, he can still do it. He can still get back to that level, and he's got that motivation. And you bring this guy in to a Hurricanes group who have such good vibes, who have such a good coach in Rod Brind'Amour, who can, get the best out of a player who's in this situation. He obviously came highly recommended from Dmitry Orlov, from Justin Williams, who played with him in Washington. I mean, I just think it's a perfect fit. And considering what you've given up to get him, a third round pick, it's really not much to give up for a guy who has this kind of upside, and especially with 50% retained. I think, look, no disrespect to Jack Drury, no disrespect to Jesperi Kotkaniemi, but if this guy can get back to even half of the level that he was at before, he's an instant upgrade at the second line center. And if he can get, anywhere near what he was in his heyday, or even last year when he had 55 points, I mean, like, this is just such a big upgrade. It's a guy who's motivated, who wants to be here. I just think it's a match made in heaven for both sides.
One thing, Matt, before you go, I do just think it's interesting. Both guys did seem very excited to be here, and especially in the Gensel, I wasn't 100% sure that was going to be the case. To be straight up with you, playing with Sidney Crosby his whole career, he's won a cup there. He's always been there, but we haven't really dove into the contract portion of this. We may or may not. But he even seemed at least open to it. And I know you can argue that, of course, he's gonna, not come in and be like, yeah, I'm not signing here, I'm gonna go to free agency, obviously. But at the same time, I don't know, it's just the vibe I got that he was like very much like, yeah, we're gonna see what happens, and I'm not counting it out, if nothing else. And I think that's a good thing for the Hurricanes, because you get Brind'Amour, you get him into the system. Players tend to love Brind'Amour. I think you got a good chance to do that. But I think it's a good environment for both those guys to thrive. Sorry, Matt, I'm cutting you off just all the time. Just really, trying to get
No,
the vibes back like they used to be. Trying to remind you of the good old days.
it's like we never left.
Yeah.
I will say that I wonder if we keep Brady Shea and Stephen Nason, two guys that have relationships with Gensel outside of just like Nason's played with him before. Obviously, Shea, I think, knows the family pretty well too. I do wonder if that means that we make a bigger push to keep both of those guys around so that we can make a push to keep Gensel around too. Just that's just pure speculation, but I wonder if that happens. There, we got the contract thing in. My take on Kuznetsov is this seems like a guy who is rejuvenated. Like, he's finally able to just play the game that he loves without having any, like, he's able to fight his demons now, and I think that's really important. When Kuznetsov is on, I would say he is top five in the league at just being entertaining. I mean, he is one of the most electrifying players in the sport. Like, yeah, Connor McDavid's great, but there's so many players that can make those highlight reel plays, but Kuznetsov, there's just something special about him, whether it's a goal or a pass that he makes, like he just makes it electrifying. He really does. And
God,
it
I used to
gives the
hate that
Canes
eagle
now.
thing.
Oh man.
I love it. I can't wait. I can't
And
wait for the bird surge. Bird
his
surge, baby.
shootout, the
His
bird surge.
shootouts, man. Oh my God, I used to hate them, but now I'm gonna love them. Like
Exactly, dude. And
that
you
is
know what?
just how
That's
sports are.
one thing that I did actually mean to bring up about Kuznetsov and forgot to. The Hurricanes have been awful in the shootout this year. At least now you've got one guy. That's probably going to be good for the Hurricanes to at least get, you know, 3, 4 more points down the stretch. That could matter. Who knows?
I don't care about the shootout in the slightest.
Hey man, points are points.
The other team can have that point. At that point, it's not hockey anymore. It's just one-on-one. You might as well go to the player's garage.
Matt hates fun.
Yeah, that's been confirmed. You don't have to go back very far in this podcast to find that out. Seriously though, like I think Kuznetsov gives us a 1-2 punch down the middle now. You've got Aho. If Kuznetsov pans out, whoo! And then you've got Drury, maybe as your de facto 3C now. I think honestly, like he's playing at the level of a 3C. I don't know if, yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think that's a hot take. And then it allows for Jordan Staal to be, yeah, maybe they get third line minutes, but to be more of that grinding fourth line style. It also might open up Kotkaniemi to have some space, some time on the wing. And I know like bringing that up is like, but like KK needs to, he can't buy one right now. And maybe getting him out of the center position will help that. You know, maybe getting him on the wing. Because I mean, it's harder to score as a center in the NHL. It just is. On the wing, it might not be as bad. He might actually be able to get something done. I'm not saying he will, but it gives us that flexibility and it gives us four lines that can now go toe to toe with anybody in the league.
From a depth perspective, I don't see how you can really make an argument that it doesn't improve this team. And AK just needs to see the puck go in. Like, and
He needs to see a few of them go in. Like,
yeah, I was going to say that
he
too,
gets
because,
the one goal every once in a while, but he needs
right.
quite a few.
That's actually exactly what I was going to say. But it'll also be kind of interesting to see who comes out of the lineup.
I was going to say, do we even think KK is going to be playing? I
I
don't know,
think.
man.
I don't think you take KK out, but the one thing that gives me pause in saying that is Brendan Moore's love for Jesper Fast, because he kind of seems like the best choice. And I know, and you know, even that one, like you first hear it, you're like, oh, I don't think Rob would take Jesper Fast out. But run through that list of players the Hurricanes have. I mean, I guess KK is the only other option. You're not going to take Nason out. You're not going to take Drury out. Stahl, Martinook. Yeah, right. Rob would retire first. I mean, there's just not that many options. So it's got to be Foster KK1, unless they want to go 13 forwards and 5D.
But what defenseman are you gonna take out?
Chatfield.
Why?
Are
I'm
you
kidding. I
crazy?
don't
don't know, dude. I'm kidding. This is a not real situation. You know,
Well, it's
whatever.
good it's not
Podcasts are
real
just
because it's not happening.
podcasts are just a social construct, and I hate them. I'm just kidding. I love you guys.
Now we're getting nihilistic. I like it.
Been playing a lot of Grand
Yeah.
Theft Auto. I think that's what's been doing it.
All right. So the Hurricanes traded
Wait,
Cade
they made
Weber's
two other
rights.
trades?
Cade
Huh?
Weber's
Weber?
rights, and then they were involved in the
Oh,
Labushkin
yeah.
deal.
Oh, I was like, wait, they made two?
I was
I
like, wait,
kind of
what's the
forgot
other
about that.
trade? Cade
Yeah, so they
Weber.
technically they've acquired two sixth round picks, basically.
Yeah, man, killing
I
it.
think both from Toronto in back-to-back years.
Cade Weber, equally as valuable as Tony D'Angelo.
Cade Weber, listen, he just set an NCAA record for shot blocks in the season.
Did he? He's good
Yeah.
defensively, dude. Like he's big. He big, man. He big. He real
Yeah,
big.
he offers you nothing offensively, and I think that's why the Canes felt okay with moving him. And honestly, you always have to wonder with a blue line as deep as the Hurricanes, is like how much of it is the player wanting, an opportunity, a better opportunity,
Yeah.
like that's definitely something to consider. I mean, especially you've got Scott Morrow coming in, Alexander Nikishin's obviously coming in at some point, Sorry, my camera's going crazy. My cat's like rubbing up against the computer.
Yeah, there was a
They
report too
can't see
from
that,
a local
Matt.
reporter somewhere, I think in Boston last week. I think it was last week or maybe the week before, but he said that from what like the buzz around the arenas and stuff there was that Weber was gonna test free agency. I think he's gonna declare this summer, right?
Yeah, it was Mark Diver, who is like super in tune with like Hockey East, Providence Bruins, all sorts of stuff like that, was basically saying,
Yeah, he said he was gonna go to free
he was going
agency.
to test free agency. And I think Toronto kind of saw at least an opportunity to say like, hey, let's at least try and get the kid signed,
Yeah. Yeah.
The other one was just you retained like 25% of Ilya excuse me, Ilya Lyubushkin's salary, which was like 200K against the cap, I think, and you get a sixth round pick. It's another dart to throw at the board. The odds of it becoming an NHL player are slim to none, but it's again just like a free draft pick, so you can't hate it. I guess, the other two moves are, Ty Smith was included in the Jake Guentzel trade on our end, and then we signed Max Comtois. I think both players are just being brought in to be organizational depth because we don't have any of that in the minors. And the one piece of organizational depth that we did have that was close, we traded
Yeah.
in the Jake Guentzel deal.
Right.
So, Comtois, I think, is a solid player. Obviously has had an NHL career, or at least
And some
like
success, man.
he's had decent success on bad teams.
Yeah.
Like Anaheim was not good, and
I thought he
like
had
I
a
don't think
rough
he's
time.
ever gonna be like
True.
a good player, but I think there's like a as like a depth signing, it's fine. And then Ty Smith.
Another guy that it's funny that actually
Yeah.
both of those guys I thought like at one time I was like, oh man, this guy looks good. I think he might have a bright future. Because at first there seemed to be
Yeah,
some
he had that
stuff with
one
Smith.
good season with
Yeah.
the Devils there.
Both of those guys, I know Smith's only like 22 or 23. Every once in a while, a defenseman just takes a while. But
He's probably about to turn 24 because I think his draft year was Svechka's draft year.
okay. Well, either way, I don't know. You never know. So those you can even kind of say those are dart throws, but I think at the end of the day, the Hurricanes are pretty well under the understanding that those are, like you said, organizational depth that break in case of emergency,
Yeah, you know what you're getting.
All right. There is one more thing that I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't at least mention, and that is how cool of a scene. Last night's game became very secondary just because obviously, the Guentzel news was really starting to ramp up before puck drop, and then obviously everybody had to wait until both teams finished playing for the iron for the details to be ironed out, so that we could get a trade call, so that it could become official. Yada yada yada. And so I think at that point the game became almost like I even made a joke. It's like, holy
It
crap!
was just like, get this game over
Stop
with.
blowing the
Like,
whistle, refs.
let's just end this and get Guentzel. Like, we need the Guentzel news. Just end this game.
Run the clock, please.
Yes, sir.
I think that's unfair just because we did see a very, very cool story, and that's Freddie Anderson. I didn't know if we would ever see him back on the ice at all. Like, that's just being truthful. Like, my stepmom actually had some blood clotting issues. That stuff is scary. And, for a pro athlete, you never know. Like, something like that can make you reevaluate and wonder. And, we've seen Freddie in the past be very cautious with his health. Like, there's, I don't know how much of this I should really even say, but well, I'll just leave it at that, actually.
Yeah, he can take some time coming
Yeah,
back from injury.
yes, exactly. And I'm not trying to hold that against him at all. Like, that's probably a reasonable thing for somebody that plays a game like hockey. But last night,
Actually, a goalie.
yeah, especially a goalie that very accurate. But obviously last night comes back, gets the win. Allows a really soft goal early on, and that was kind of like, oh crap, kind of thing. And then after that, the Hurricane, he was the first star last night, and that wasn't just because, oh my God, Freddy's back. Like, he probably was, definitely was the first star of that game. Because Montreal, they kind of dominated that second period, at least for stretches. And Freddie stood on his head, man. Like, he didn't show outside of that first goal, again, from distance, which I think it might have got deflected. But anyway, he was stellar. Like, he made some fantastic athletic saves, really kind of kept the Hurricanes 1-1 at the time and kept Montreal from taking a lead. And then even when the Hurricanes went up 2-1, he made some stellar saves again. So, really cool to see. Really happy Freddie's back. And really excited to see him and Piotr push each other. Because I think that can only make the kid better, and that gives the Hurricanes a pretty good tandem moving forward. All right. I
Yeah, I was gonna
don't
say
really have
that
anything to
is
add on
it,
that, man. You covered
folks.
it all.
I think we got it. Yeah, I don't want to talk about other NHL teams
Yeah, I don't care
because,
either.
again, and listen, I don't know if this is like we're gonna do this anymore. I have no idea. Gotta get the bit in one last time. As you well know, Raleigh is the center of the hockey universe, so I don't think we should talk about any other teams.
I don't mind that at all. I'm sure we'll get
There we go.
together. I'm sure we'll get together and do this at some point. Maybe it'll just be, me and Alex. Maybe it'll just be me. Maybe there'll be a day that I just need to rant, and I'm trying to stop doing that on Twitter so much. I promise. And who knows? Maybe there will be a time when we actually decide to do this. I had that conversation before, just trying to push this to like when I start working from home, which is going to happen at some point. Working from home more anyway. I'm still going to be out and about, but anyway, besides the point. I was kind of more targeting then for when I'd have a little bit more time to do this. And there could be a chance that someday. I'm not going to close the door on this by any means, but I do hope that every once in a while we can hop on here and, when there's something to talk about. So hopefully in the playoffs we have a lot to talk about, and you guys can maybe, if not before then, hope to see us then.
I used to close out the pod. I guess I should close it out, right?
I guess we're waiting on you, huh?
The floor is
Yeah.
yours, pal.
Listen,
This is your
again,
moment.
like I said at the beginning, right? I'm rusty. I haven't done this in a while.
Hey, I'm just glad to be back with the boys again, eh? It's been
That's true. Honestly, it's just been a
fun.
blast. Folks, we, as always, appreciate it. It was really cool seeing Brandon tweet last night, and then like people were like actually like excited to have us back. Like that was really neat. I miss this, I really do. My schedule is just hectic, and I think that kind of goes for everybody here. So even though we don't know when the next one will be, we just want to thank you all again for your time, for your support, and as always, folks, I can't forget.
Especially now.
Even though it's been a year since we last met, but folks, it is a great time to be a Carolina Hurricanes fan.